Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gently reminds you and tells you how important you are. And my brothers and sisters, if you do not feel that, if you do not believe that, if you do not trust in Allah in that, the ummah will continue to suffer. Allah nor His messengers ever told us nor taught us to look down on anybody, even the physically handicapped. My brothers and sisters, I want you to think about this. The ummah in this world is suffering. It is suffering because of its incapacitation. And we see the suffering of our brothers and sisters in Gaza. We see the suffering of our brothers and sisters elsewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know that you as an individual are needed. Meaning, He doesn't want you to fall prey to the shaitan's whispers and that you are not important. Every individual is important. Even the disabled Muslim is important. Even the disabled person who has a good heart and wants to do good, even if they're not Muslim, they are important. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu was a blind man at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a companion who was blind. You heard of him in Surah Abasa wa Tawalla and Ja'ahu al-A'ma. He frowned and turned away from him when the blind man came to him, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was a disabled person. Yet he'd never let his disability make him believe that he's lower than the rest. Nor did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor the community around him, ever made him feel the slightest feeling that he was lesser or incapacitated than anyone else. And even when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned away from him and frowned, meaning he wants the other people's attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimanded the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he went back and said, "Welcome to the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded me about." He made him the mu'adhin of Fajr. Bilal radiallahu anhu was the mu'adhin of Al-Fajr Al-Kadhib, meaning, you know how when in the middle of the night before Fajr by about half an hour, there's a bit of light, a twilight, and then it goes away. That's called Al-Fajr, the lying Fajr. So there's two adhans, used to be. Bilal radiallahu anhu would make the first adhan. Abdullah ibn Maktum, the blind man, would make the second adhan, the real adhan. And how is he supposed to see the sunlight? He would estimate. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not take him off his post of the mu'adhin of Medina. And when in the battle of Uhud, I think, or another battle, the Muslims were suffering and the flag was about to fall, the raya, the flag of the Muslims. If the flag falls, that's 50% of the defeat of an army, because their morale falls. They think they've been defeated once the flag falls. So Abdullah ibn Maktum used his ability, whatever he can, of the other blessings that Allah had given him. Even though he couldn't use his eyes, he used the rest of his body. He used his ears, he used his senses, and he used his hands. And he said, "Give me the flag, I will carry the stand." He carried it. And he was inconspicuous, because the enemy doesn't look for a person who's not fighting. They look at the person who's fighting him. Abdullah ibn Maktum is blind. He couldn't fight because he couldn't see, but he carried the flag, which was the victory result of the Muslims. No, Allah nor His messengers ever told us nor taught us to look down on anybody, even the physically handicapped. Everyone has a place and a role and an ability, and we as a community need to understand that. It doesn't matter who you are, man or woman, you have a purpose. Whatever skill you have, even if it's as small as the Ethiopian woman at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who nobody knew her name. Nobody, till today, wallahi, in all the narrations of hadith, we don't know her name. Why? The name is not the most important thing. The name is for Allah. We're all going to die and our names are going to be forgotten. But the work that you leave behind, the legacy, is what is remembered, your a'mal, your actions. Who is the one that has to remember you? Allah. And that's the most important thing. Allah says in the Quran, in Surah Al-Munafiqun, that He writes your name. فِي عِلِّيِّينَ كَلَّا إِنَّ كِتَابَ الْأَبْرَارِ لَفِي عِلِّيِّينَ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا عِلِّيُّونَ كِتَابٌ مَرْقُومٌ يَشْهَدُهُ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. Behold, without a doubt, those who do righteous actions and are of piety, their name and their mention is in the highest records. And what would you know of what the highest records are? They are in the highest places, the most highest of His creation. Witness it and look at it. Imagine the angels reading your name, although the people in this world may not know your name. Isn't that what you want? That Ethiopian woman was not known what her name is, but she used to clean in the masjid. Just pick up little things in the masjid. When she died, they buried her in the middle of the night because of the hot weather in that place. They didn't have mortuaries, they didn't have fridges, they didn't have all that stuff. Before the body decays, it was honorable to bury them so that they can bury them while being preserved. That's an honor for the human body. When the Prophet ﷺ arrived at Fajr, he noticed something different. Immediately he clicked. Rasulullah ﷺ was very sensitive and knew all the people around him. Where is that woman? The lovely woman who cleans the masjid said, Wallahi ya Rasulullah, she died and we buried her last night. He got frustrated. He said, I told you to tell me. He said, Ya Rasulullah, you are asleep. We didn't want to bother you. He said, take me to her grave. Don't you know that my dua reaches them and that it enlightens and brightens their, you know, their graves, meaning wherever they are. He went to her grave out of his way to make dua for her, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers and sisters, I can keep going on and on. But what matters now is that the shaitan, he knows this. But he'll come to each and every one of your minds and tells you, you are a loser. You're not wanted, you're not important, you're a mistake. Look at your parents, look at your friends, look at your job, look at your money, look at the people around you, look at your reputation, look at your body, look at you, look at your weight, look at your children, look. And he makes you focus with your brain on everything that's going wrong. لِيَحْزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In order to cause grief and sadness upon those who believe, because sadness and grief debilitates you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us over and over again in the Quran about the blessings which He gave you. وَآتَاكُم مِّن كُلِّ مَا سَأَلْتُمُوهُ وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. And He gave you from everything that you can ask. And if you were to try to count, you sat down and you really thought deliberately about every blessing that is surrounding you, you will not be able to count it if you really and seriously gave it thought. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَظَلُومٌ كَفَّارٌ. Man is often unjust, doesn't give due justice to the blessings that is surrounding them and to the value that Allah gave them. You want to insist that you are unblessed? That's what Allah is telling you. You want to insist that you are unblessed? I'm telling you, I gave you all this. And yet you want to insist that you're unblessed? You are blessed. Kafar, meaning excessively denier, excessively in denial. No. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gently reminds you and tells you how important you are. And my brothers and sisters, if you do not feel that, if you do not believe that, if you do not trust in Allah in that, the ummah will continue to suffer. Na'am. If you think debilitated...
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
You're a failure then? It is. Rasulullah ﷺ entered upon one of the Bedouins among the Muslims who was dying on his deathbed. And he was, Rasulullah ﷺ, no matter what the case was, he was always optimistic and always used words of optimism. No matter what the case was, he found a way to find a positive word. So he said to him with a smiley face, لا بأس طهور إن شاء الله. No worries. It's a purification by the will of Allah. And the word inshallah, I told you last week, it has two meanings. Inshallah means if Allah wills, we don't know. And it also means a confirmation, a definite confirmation. So inshallah is said in two ways, when I don't know and when it's confirmed. So in this case, he said inshallah meaning without a doubt. The Bedouin replied, What purification, O Messenger of Allah? All I see is sickness that is going to debilitate me and make me die and make me enter the dark grave. When the Prophet, peace be upon him, heard him reply in such pessimism, he said, oh well, then it is as you think. If that's the way you want to think about it, that's how it's going to be. In other words, the thought process that you believe in yourself is often the case that you create for yourself. So no, Rasulullah ﷺ used to say, وَأُحِبُّ الْفَأَلِ, I always love optimism. He was digging the battle in the Battle of the Trenches. You know the Battle of the Trenches? When the disbelieving Arab places, all the tribes, all the cities, they came together for the first time. About 40 different tribes came together to annihilate the Muslims once and for all. And on the sides were the neighboring Jewish communities, Bani Qurayza, who had made a contract with the Muslims that we are allies in protecting you. They were neighbors, they had an opening where the enemy can enter into Medina and kill them all. They even broke that treaty and they betrayed the Muslims. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their state saying, وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. You know when you're so terrified and afraid that your heart, you feel that it's right at your throat. You know that constriction? Can you describe that? وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. They can't even swallow anymore. And their hearts, they felt it's about to come out of them. Their stomachs were stuck to their backs. They were in starvation, a siege for 6 months. And yet, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving them positiveness. To the point where one man, he went secretly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he saw another man show his stomach to the Prophet, peace be upon him, he had two pieces of stones, rocks, to stop his stomach from hurting. Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed his stomach and he had three stones. He was always braver, he was always hungrier, he was always more tired, he was always more distressed than them because he wanted the best for them. So he comes up to him and says, Ya Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, my wife, she's got a lamb shoulder for you, but please don't tell anyone. Because if they know we can't cater for everyone, all these thousands of soldiers and people, you come along and maybe bring one or two people with you. The Prophet, peace be upon him, thanked him. And then he stood up on a rock and he said, everyone, so-and-so has invited you to a feast. He started doing this, clapping his hands, as the hadith says. He rushed to his wife and he said, Wallah, I told him in secret, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he went and told everybody. He said, then what did he say to you other than that? He said to me, go and prepare the food, but don't start to serve it until I'm there. Don't give anything until I come. This man said to his wife, I don't know what we're going to do. And then she replied to her husband, if the messenger of Allah told you that, then don't worry. It's khair. The messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told you it's khair. What's wrong with you? We're going to be fine. The wife reminded him to stay solid and stable. So when they arrived, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he put his saliva into the pot. He read some things, some words, and then he invited people after people, mashallah. And the food, we didn't even run out. It looked like it was more and more and more until everybody was full. Finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the husband of the wife were left. Only them two. He hadn't eaten. He said, you go ahead. So he started eating. He said, eat and drink until he finished. He says, I'm full. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate from it. And it was blessed and some were staying for the family. It was a miracle. And then when they were building the trench, a big rock came in the way. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, the rock is in the way. We can't break it. The enemy's about to climb over. We're going to be massacred. So he said, wait for me. He brought the dagger and started to hit the rock with it. The first time he hit it, they saw a spark. Obviously, it's a spark of metal and rock. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw something. Allah showed him. He said, Allahu Akbar, we've conquered Makkah. Makkah, we're going to enter. It's going to be ours. It's going to be back with where it belongs. Then he hit it again, another spike. And then he said, Allahu Akbar, I can see the white towers and the doors of Asham, of Damascus. It was occupied by the Byzantines, the Romans. Nobody could enter it. It was the second superpower, maybe the greatest superpower after the Persians. And then finally hit it a third time, said, Allahu Akbar, I can see the white towers of the palaces of Persia. We're entering it. Persia was a superpower at that time. And who are the Muslims? They're a small tribe sitting in Mecca and they've been kicked out of their own homes and now they're starving almost to death and they're surrounded and sieged. The hypocrites stood up. And this is exactly what the shaitan does. Remember the verse I recited before? The whispers. The hypocrites, meaning the ones who were disguised as Muslims, but they were spies. They got up and started whispering to each other. We told you this man is insane, they said. Look at him, he's about to die, he's sieged, and he's saying they're going to take over Mecca and the Byzantines and the Persia. In order to cause, to destroy the morale of the believers. But no, they took it as an optimism. And subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, you know what? Within the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's lifetime, Mecca was taken. And after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Asham was taken and then Persia was conquered. We all know the story. The point of this story that I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his companions and throughout the ages till today, we should not forget this, that the way forward is that each individual must be important. Each individual must be intact. Each individual, even if they're the only one by themselves, is a whole ummah by themselves. That's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described us. But what is our weakness? Our weakness is when we doubt ourselves. When we start telling ourselves we're losers, we've got traumas, we've got this, we've got that, it means that we're gone. No. This is how when the ummah starts to fail. And when we turn on each other, our frustrations turn on each other, we start blaming each other, putting each other down. Allah says, وَلَا تَنَازَعُوا فَتَفْشَلُوا. Do not dispute among one another and start blaming each other, otherwise you will lose. وَتَذْهَبَ رِحُكُمْ. And your whole presence of respect and strength will go away. Nobody will look at it though. Nobody will respect it. For my brothers and sisters, it starts with the individual.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. and Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.